This morning, I would invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15, and we're going to stay for the most of the sermon in this chapter of John. There's been studying for myself for quite a while, John, and it's just an amazing book. In John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, we're just going to jump back and forth in this chapter. In this passage in John 15, verses 1 to 8, Jesus emphasizes two important principles. The first one, when he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches," he emphasizing the importance of us being connected to him. The connection is very important. If you as a branch, if you are not connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ, you cannot survive on your own. That's the importance. The second principle here is that Jesus says that when we are connected to him, we will do what? We'll be fruitful, we'll bear fruit, we'll be productive for the kingdom of God. So that's the second principle. So today in my sermon, I'd like to focus on the second principle, on productivity. That's why I entitled my sermon, Fruit Producing Branches. To begin with, I want to ask you a question. Is productivity important? Is being fruitful important? Absolutely. Let me give you an example, illustrate that. For example, imagine that you go to a vineyard, an owner of a vineyard, and they just suffered a frost, and all the grapes are gone, right? And you look at the owner of the vineyard and you say, well, at least the vine branches are still nice to look at. What would the vineyard owner say to you? He wouldn't be happy, right? Because he just lost what? His fruit, the grapes. Why is that? Because the main purpose of the branch is what? To produce fruit. It's not to look nice. It's nice that a branch looks nice. But the main purpose of the branch is to produce fruit. So when you tell that vineyard owner, oh, it's still nice to look at when he lost all his fruit, he's not going to be happy with you because the main purpose of the branch is to produce fruit. So the Bible tells us in John 15, Jesus tells us that he's the vine and we are what? We are the branches. And as such, as branches, what is our main purpose? Is to produce fruit. Unfortunately, there are so many nice-looking branches in our churches. It's still, I said it, nice-looking branches. There is too many nice-looking branches in our churches. So during the sermon today, I would like you to think about your spiritual productivity. All right, I would like you to think about your spiritual life and answer this question. Are you a fruit-producing branch or just a nice-looking, unproductive branch? It's a tough question to ask, but we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we just nice-looking branches where we are producing fruit for the kingdom of God? When Jesus is talking here in John chapter 15 about fruit, Jesus is talking about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And most of you know these verses, but you can open it with me in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And God is describing through Apostle Paul what kind of fruit he's expecting from us. So if you're in Galatians, find chapter 5, please, verses 22 and 23. And it says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, say it with me, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So, when you look at this list, are you producing this fruit of the Spirit in your life? Not just on the Sabbath day, but are you producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life every day of your life? Can you take the list and go through those and say, yes, I produce some fruit, or just not that many? By producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we will show that we are connected to the right source, to Jesus Christ. That is what we're showing to the people around us. When we are producing the fruit of the Spirit, people can say, yes, I can see this is a true follower of Christ. Unfortunately, there is too many people that are producing other type of fruits in their lives. There is a story of a little boy, maybe you heard this, who used to escape his bedroom after being punished, and he would crawl out of his bedroom window down an old fruit tree to the ground. So he would crawl on the tree and just go down and escape. One day his father told him that he was going to chop down the tree because it hadn't produced any fruit in many, many years. So the boy was, that was his escape route. So that evening he got his friend and they went to the and bought a few apples, a dozen of apples, and during the night they tied the apples to the tree. Next morning, when the father wakes up, he couldn't believe his eyes. He said to his wife, "Honey, I can't believe it. That old tree hasn't yielded any fruit for years, and now it's covered with apples." And the most amazing thing he said, "It's a pear tree." Now, let me ask you a question. It's a probably deep philosophical question, but does an apple tree need to produce apples in order to be called an apple tree? Some will say yes, some will say no. Now, if you look at an apple tree and there is no apples on the tree, will you still recognize that tree as an apple tree? Yes, you would. So you don't necessarily need the apples on the tree to know that that's an apple tree. But if an apple tree does not produce apples, then it's a bad tree, right? And what do you do with a bad tree? You cut it off, get rid of it, throw it out. A Christian does not necessarily need to produce fruit to be called a Christian. But without fruit, they would not be genuine, true Christians. There is a lot of Christians that call themselves Christians, but they are not producing fruit. They can call themselves Christians as much as they want. But if there is no evidence in their lives, and what is the evidence? Is the fruit that they are bearing. If there is no evidence in their life, they are not true or genuine Christians. The fruit is an evidence of true Christianity, and this is the type of Christian that God desires. He desires fruitful Christians. So let's go back to John 15, verses 1 to 8. And as I was reading this passage, I found three different types of branches here. And this shows us three different stages of productivity in Christians' lives. Okay? So three types of branches. So today we're going to go through these three types and see where you can find yourself. What type of branch are you? All right? The first branch... is the one that produces no fruit. And let me read verse 2 and verse 6. John 15, verse 2, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are what? They're burnt." So this is the branch that produces no fruit. That's the first type of branch. But it's very interesting, if you look closely at the text, there is two types of no producing branches. And some of you might look at me a little bit, let me show it to you, all right? If you read John 15, verse 2 again, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Other translation says that he cuts it off, but that's a wrong translation. I'll show it to you. He takes away that branch, all right? Some translation says he lifts it up, and that's the correct translation, all right? So verse 2, the branch is in Christ. It's very interesting to see that there are branches in Christ, but do not produce fruit. That was very interesting for me to find it from this text. You still can be in Christ, but not produce fruit. And we'll see that why is that from the text. Now, if you go to verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, do you see the difference? The first branch is in Christ. This one is what? Not abiding in Christ. It's still a branch that does not produce fruit, but is a branch that is not in Christ, does not abide in Christ. So, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered and then is thrown out into the fire to be burned. Both are branches without fruit, but the difference is one is in Christ and another one is not in Christ, does not abide in Christ. This is the difference. Now, in verse 2, the Greek word that is translated takes away or cuts off is a Greek word aire, and the best translation for this word is to lift up. So what happens here? There are lots of branches. If you've done gardening and you had vines, grapevines at home, while I was growing up, my grandparents had a lot of grapevines at home. So I watched them taking care of the grapevines. But if you know, there are lots of branches on a grapevine that grow along the ground, right? They bend, and then they grow along the ground. If you don't put any support, they will just automatically bend and just grow along the ground. They get covered with dirt and are shaded from the light of the sun, and thus they become unproductive. They cannot produce. They're still attached to the vine, but they're growing on the ground covered with the dirt. Although they are alive, they can't produce fruit. So the gardener will wash the dirt off and lift these branches up, giving them the support they needed in order to produce fruit. So this is what the gardener does with the first type of unproductive branch. The one that is unproductive but is still connected to the vine, he comes and he lifts it up, washes it off from the dirt, and it gives a direction for it to grow upwards. Because it used to go down and was on the ground, now it goes upwards. It gives it a direction. He washes it off, and he shows, and the branch is growing. The fruitless branch in verse 2 is like the believer who is on the ground in their spiritual experiences. Have you found yourself on the bottom of the pit sometimes in your Christian experience? Covered with dirt from a sinful life and some habits that you cannot give up in your life. This is the Christian, but they're still attached to Christ. They still want this experience, but this dirt is covering them, the dirt of sin. They are very tender and are not able to carry their heavy burdens and are bent to the ground, and as a result, they are unproductive. So the question is, would the Father cut off such a branch? No, he does not cut it off. Instead, like a loving gardener, he takes it and lifts it up. He washes it off. And that's what he does with you when you find yourself in the dirt, covered with the dirt. He lifts you up and he makes you productive branch, because the sin makes you unproductive. All those burdens that you carry around makes you bend to the ground as a branch, and you become unproductive. But God comes, and in his loving care, he lifts you up, and he makes you productive. The only thing that you need to do, you have to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. When you find yourself there, down there in the dirt, the only thing you have to say, Lord, there is a lot of things pushing on me, and I find myself right in the ground, in the dirt. I need your help. Lift me up. I want to be productive, but I need you to lift me up. Now we come to verse 6, and this is a different type of unproductive branch. Jesus uses another word altogether when he talks about this branch. He uses a very strong Greek word, ekbalo. Ekbalo in Greek New Testament is always used when Jesus was casting out demons. It's a very, very strong word when Jesus was casting out the demons, the evil spirits out of people. So this branch in verse 6 is an unproductive branch as well, but this branch is cut off and it's cast off. It's thrown into the fire. Now, the interesting thing as I was looking at this, And I like to look deep into the verses sometimes, maybe too deep sometimes, but in verse 6, the interesting thing, what happens to the branch is that the text that does not say who is doing the action upon the unfruitful branch. It doesn't say who is casting off this branch. If you read it again, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is what? Cast out. Does it say who is doing the action? No, it's just very general. So I was thinking, who is casting out this unproductive branch? Is it God? Is it Satan? Is it some other people? Or maybe the branch itself? So as I was looking at the verse, verse 6, I came to the conclusion that this branch is doing this casting out, the branch is doing it to itself. In other words, the branch is disqualified as a branch, or it is not worthy to be called a branch anymore because it does not serve its purpose. It does not produce fruit anymore. It's not God that casts out this branch. God wants to keep his people connected to him as long as possible, right? He will never cast out his people, his children. But the more you are... So this is the branch that is on the ground covered with dirt. Some of the branches say, Lord, I need help, and they're being lifted up. But some of them accumulate more dirt, more dirt, more dirt. And what will happen to that branch eventually? It will break off from the vine. If you continue in that sinful lifestyle, eventually you will yourself disqualify yourself as a branch, because you'll accumulate that in your life and you'll eventually be disconnected. You'll break off from the vine and you disqualify yourself as a branch because you're not worthy to be called a branch because you're not bringing any fruit anymore for Christ. So it's not God that does that. It's the branch itself. After that, what happens? The branch withers. Have you seen a branch that is disconnected from the vine? What happens to it? It withers. And then what is it good for? The only one thing it's good for? The fire. And that's what happens to this branch. So if you find yourself as an unproductive branch and you're low to the ground, ask Jesus to lift you up. Cleanse you, lift you up, and make you productive. The more you stay in that lifestyle, sinful lifestyle, you accumulate more and more dirt. It will become too heavy for you. And eventually you'll break off from the vine. You'll break off that connection from the source of life, who is Jesus Christ. So this is the first type of branch. Let's move on. We don't have much time here. The second type of branch is found in verses 3 and 4. So it says here, verse 2, the second part. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. So there is two types of branches that are unproductive. They don't produce fruit. Then there is a type of branch that bears some fruit. We don't know how much. It says just bears fruit, okay? It's just some fruit. So the question that I had when I was reading this, what is it in the life of this branch that restricts the productivity? Why does it bear only some fruit and not abundance of fruit? There is a few things. One thing I found in this verse, and that's found in verse 4. If you read verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear what? Fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The greatest cause for reduced productivity in the branches is self. When we are connected to Christ, his fruit is evident in our lives. But from time to time, we stop relying upon Christ and his life within us and live our life in our own strength. Has it happened to you that before? You stop relying on Christ to bear fruit, and you try to do it yourself. You think that you can do it. You think that you can produce fruit on your own, but Jesus says you cannot produce fruit by yourself. as a branch, it's all through Jesus Christ. So in those times when you stop depending on Christ and rely upon your own strength and ability, it is then that the branch is unable to continue to produce fruit. And your productivity is reduced. So what does the Father do with this branch? Does he cut it out and throw it out? He does what? Prunes it. How many of you have done pruning in your life? What happens when you prune? You cut things off, all right? There is nothing pretty about pruning. The tree looks barren afterwards. You know, when my grandfather used to take, and I was like, and then it produces fruit. It's very interesting. When we come to a point when our productivity is reduced, God does some pruning on us. So what is the Father doing when he prunes the branches? He's causing us to stop depending upon self in order that we might rely fully on Christ and bear more fruit. When he's pruning us, he wants us to stop relying on ourselves. That's how we can bring more fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So pruning is painful. But although painful, at the same time, pruning is productive. The pain of cutting accomplishes what the Father intends, fruitfulness. I was reading an illustration about a sculptor. He once fashioned a magnificent lion out of a piece of solid stone, and they asked him, "How did you do that?" And his answer was, "It was easy. All I did was to chip away everything that didn't look like a lion." So pruning, it's God's way of chipping away everything in your lives that doesn't look like Christ. That's what God does through pruning. Everything that doesn't look like him, he prunes. And it's painful. Some of you went through that process of pruning. It is painful. But Hebrews 12:11 says that it accomplishes something, and it accomplishes fruitfulness in your life, accomplishes productivity. So let's move to the third branch. There is a branch that bears no fruit, two types of unproductive branches. The second branch is the one that brings some fruit, so we need some pruning to be done in our lives. There are some things that Jesus needs to remove from our lives. The third branch is found in verses 7 and 8. And it says here, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The third type of branch is the one that God desires each and every one of us to be, is the one that bears much fruit. Do you desire to be a branch that bears much fruit? I desire that. I don't want to be an unproductive branch. I don't want to just bring some fruit for the kingdom. I want to bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. These are the branches that have been lifted up by Christ when they needed to be, and which have been properly trained through the discipline of pruning. These are those ones that allowed Christ to work in their lives and be pruned. They have crucified self and have learned that apart from Christ, they can do nothing. I read one commentator, and he noted that there are six instances where Jesus mentions bearing fruit as a Christian. And five of those are tied to the cross or to dying, dying to self. You cannot bear fruit, much fruit, if you haven't died to self. There is lots of things in your life that you want to do it on your own, but Christ says you have to give it up. I need to take over. And then this commentator, he concludes, he says, "In short, it is in dying, not in doing, that we bear fruit for God. The doing comes as a result of dying." And that's a very, very important point. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. Paul says, "I have what? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ," what? "Lives in me." When Christ lives in us, we will produce an abundance of fruit. Let me conclude with this illustration. It's been said about Albert Einstein. He was in his old age. And at a dinner party, a conversation started between him and a young girl who was his neighbor. And the little girl asked him, "What are you actually by profession?" And Albert Einstein, he replied, "I study physics." And the girl looked at him in an astonishment, and she says, "You mean to say you studied physics at your age?" She said, "I finished mine a year ago," she says. What I'm trying to say to you through this illustration, as Christians, we never stop maturing and producing fruit. We always grow. It is a process of a lifetime. You haven't graduated from the school of Christ when you entered into the waters of baptism and were baptized. That's it. That's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But unfortunately, so many Christians see this as the end. I've achieved something. I've graduated. I don't have to take physics anymore. Some people devote their entire lives studying something. We have to devote our entire lives maturing and growing in Christ and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I look at this process of bearing fruit, this process is an illustration of our relationship with Christ. Not everyone is on the same level in their relationship with Christ, and I want you to understand that. And do not judge those who are not on the same level with you, okay? Because not everyone is on the same level. Not everyone bears the same type of fruit. Not everyone is the same type of branch. Some people find themselves low to the ground, covered with the dirt of sinful lifestyle, and they're producing no fruit. And at that time, they need Jesus to come and lift them up, cleanse them and lift them up. And allow God to do that work. Don't try to be the judge of those people. Allow God to do that work. Understand that everyone is different. Others are at the stage where they bear only some fruit. There are still things in their lives that do not allow them to bear much fruit, but God is working with them, pruning those things out, slowly working with every person. Allow God to do that work of pruning in the lives of people. Don't you go and start cutting off things, because it's not our job to do that. We must understand that people are different levels in their experience with Christ and are different levels of their productivity life. But there are some others that are at stage where they bear much fruit. These are the people that allowed Christ to lift them up and prune them, and now they're bringing much fruit for Christ. And this is where Christ wants us to be. So the question that I want to leave you with today is, what type of branch are you? Are you producing no fruit at all, only some fruit, or much fruit, abundance of fruit for the kingdom of God? May God bless you. Amen.